Welcome, everybody. How are you today?
I'm doing really well.
Glad to be here.
We have a good panel here today to discuss the subject that's in our magazine on page 42. And what is the subject we're going to talk about today in fitness, Simon?
Well, we're going to talk about weight loss, and we're actually going to talk about different ways to approach weight loss or ways to go about losing weight.
Well, I've tried to lose weight all my life, and I think you've tried to, and we keep losing it and gaining it. I do. I don't know about you. You don't gain it back, do you?
It depends how many years of my life you're looking at. No, I don't gain it back right away. But
we do have Zach here, and Zach doesn't look like he needs to study this article. Zach?
Well, you know, I think it is a good opportunity always to pay attention to fitness features and to look at staying healthy and staying motivated. And I think that's important when you're considering weight loss, that this is a health thing. And, yeah, I think it's always good to know your stuff.
Well, evidently, as far as losing weight or being overweight, this has an awful lot to do with your health all your life.
Yeah, I think that's true. If you are overweight, it's very stressful on your body, and it tends to lead to a lot of different health problems later on in life. Whereas if you maintain a healthy lifestyle, things seem to be much easier on your body over time.
Haven't you all heard people say, oh, I'm on a diet, I'm not eating that now? How many times have you heard that?
Yeah, a very, very common catchphrase to just say, you know, that's one approach, I think, is diet. But I think we're going to look at a variety of different ways and different tips to help diversify or help to allow you to reach those goals.
So that's the title, then, is the ways to approach or to discuss this weight loss thing. And what does it say we have to do?
Well, it suggests that if we heed the following advice, we might be able to lose weight effectively. And heed just means listen to and follow. So if
that's
you follow
not easy
this
to
advice,
do. Yeah, we can listen, we can read it, but are we going to do it? That's something else.
That's it. That's
it means do it, doesn't it?
Well, if you do follow this advice, you probably will lose weight effectively.
That's what the article says, and we can have our discussion on what we think about it. Don't you think it's a good article to talk about these next 2 days?
I think so. It's an important topic.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we start to read then. Where are we going to read today?
All right, so we are starting on page 42, right under day. We're in July 30th, so right under the 30, and we will begin with our first reading.
Ways to approach weight loss. Heed the following advice when trying to lose weight effectively. The answer to weight loss is multifaceted, but a good starting point is understanding calories. Calories are the source of energy used by the human body and are found in foods in the form of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. We need energy to perform basic bodily functions, and even more if we exercise. Excess calories are stored as body fat, essentially reserved energy. In some ways, the science of losing weight is simple. Expend more calories than are consumed, and your body will use body fat for energy. You can do this by eating less or by exercising more. The catch is that we don't live our lives in a lab. Food tastes good. We are creatures of habit, and we like to indulge at social gatherings. So, what do you do? Here are a few evidence-based approaches for weight loss.
Well, this article gives us some good advice, but it says that this is a multifaceted thing. That's kind of a big word, multifaceted.
That's right. Multifaceted, it can kind of be broken into two parts there. Multi or multi really just means more than one. And faceted kind of has different meanings depending on how you use it. But when you take it in this meaning, you basically means you have a lot of different parts or things to think about.
Kind of focus on many different, it focuses on different things.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it says here that a good starting point, we have to start someplace, and that is understanding calories. Now, I hope you all know the word calories. What are calories, actually?
So in our article, it says calories are the source of energy. And, you know, any time we're talking about weight loss or food, this is always the first thing to come up is understanding calories. And this is where your energy essentially comes from in these different foods.
Well, in fact, if I'm going to buy something at the supermarket or the store, I look and see how many calories.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a lot of calories, I better not buy it because it might make me fat. Do you ever look at the calorie account that's listed on things you buy or not? Do you?
Yeah, I do. The thing is that a calorie is actually a unit of measurement for energy. So you can count calories, kind of like a kilometer or a mile or a pound or a kilogram, except it's measuring energy. So how much energy is in a food or a drink that you're going to have?
Well, then shouldn't you get a lot of it? I mean, I want a lot of energy. Why can't I eat a lot of calories?
Well, and I think it's important when you're also measuring how many calories you plan to burn or to lose while through the, you know, exercising. Certain exercise routines will say, well, you can expect to lose this amount of calories. So, you know, you kind of have to find that balance between food, diet, and your exercise.
Well, it says that these calories are formed of carbohydrates. That's another big word, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats.
Yeah, and what that really means is because a calorie is just a unit of energy, it means there's different ways to get that energy. And so these are different names for things you might find in food. So, for example, if you're eating a piece of bacon, it probably has protein in it, but it probably also has fat in it.
The and proteins are okay. But the fats are the problem.
Well, they're all okay if you have the right number of
balance
them.
Balance.
Well, we do need energy. So why do we need energy anyway?
So here it says in the article that we need energy just to perform our basic bodily functions, right? So, I mean, you could think of something as rudimentary or as basic as, you know, getting up and walking and making it to work.
Even getting up in the morning.
Sure.
Well, I think even more basic than that, your basic bodily functions are things like your heart beating,
right,
and breathing and thinking and things like that, like things that your body is just kind of doing by itself. It needs energy for all of those things.
Well, line 10 here, though, says excess calories. That means too many calories. Uh-oh, what happens if you have too many calories?
Yeah, like I don't want to say our bodies are smart because they're not necessarily thinking about this, but our bodies are amazingly designed because when we have extra energy, instead of just dumping it out and not using it, our bodies store the energy in case we don't have enough energy later. But the problem, of course, for us is that we tend to have excess calories day after day, year after year. That's right. It's not like 500 years ago when we're not getting enough food sometimes.
But, you know, sometimes like if a person gets sick or something and they've got a little bit of energy stored, that it helps them get through it. But if they don't have enough, then their sickness gets worse. So you need to store a little bit, don't you?
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't want to have too much stored.
That's right.
That's right. The winter might be cold and long. You might need a little extra energy.
Well, it says here in the next line here, in line 12, that in some ways the science of losing weight is simple. I wonder if that's true.
Well, they give us an explanation of how you do it. Expend more calories than are consumed, and your body...
Underline that one. See, read it again.
Expend more calories than are consumed, and your body will use body fat for energy. So expend there just means use. Actually, the word is very similar to spend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you spend money, except we don't use expend when we're talking about money. We use it about other things.
Mm-hmm. So use more calories than you eat.
And that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a common principle even with something like money. You need to make probably more money as opposed to than how much you're spending.
Mm-hmm.
It does get a little complicated, though, because it's not always easy to expend calories. We actually just had a fairly recent health article here on Advanced where we said you can't outrun a bad diet. And basically what it meant was actually it's really hard to expend a lot of calories. It takes a lot of work. And so if you're eating really high fat foods, then you just really can't run enough to get rid of all of that energy.
Well, it says here in line 14 that you can do this by eating less. I underlined that, eating less, or by exercising more. Is that true?
Right. Well, so I think what you have here is it's a simple solution, but it's kind of complex and hard to pull off sometimes because there's these factors like time, what food is available to you, budget. There are these factors that you kind of have to deal with in order to achieve this goal.
Well, it talks about here the catches. I like that phrase, the catches. Mm. What is that actually meaning of that phrase, the catch?
It just means kind of the unexpected difficulty. So think everything's going to go really well, and then there's a catch and something you don't expect that causes you trouble.
Because we don't live our lives in a lab, in a laboratory, right?
That's right. No, we live in the real world with real problems and multifaceted difficulties surrounding us, and we have to, you have to kind of face up to those and try to figure out a good solution in order to achieve your goals.
Yeah. Well, line 16 and 17 says that food tastes good. Do we all agree with that?
Well, it does taste good, yeah.
And it should. I mean, you know, no matter what kind of food you eat, German food, Chinese food, and we're kind of used to that from the time we... And so food does taste good, and that's one thing. And then we get in the habit of liking certain things that we always had when we were kids. Like if your mother always fixed noodles for you, you love it because you've had it since you're a creature of habit. You've done it all your life, right?
That's right.
Dumplings, sweet jo, nuts.
And the third thing they say there is we like to indulge, which means kind of have a little extra at social gatherings. So when we're with people, you know, we like to maybe get dessert and share it when we wouldn't if we're by ourselves.
Birthday parties, all kinds like that. Yeah, social gatherings.
And I think what all of this adds up to is the idea that our habits sometimes lead us into having a lot of extra calories in our diet. So, for example, when I go and get a coffee in the morning, maybe I decide to start adding two creams instead of one cream.
Because and the cinnamon roll?
Yeah, because you think, oh, it's just one little cream. It's not, but by the end of the day, that adds up to a lot of different stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So we need different approaches, some practical advice in order to, hit these goals.
Well, say this word here, it likes to indulge in. The word indulge means to give yourself limit to do more. You know, when you're at home, you say, I'm not going to eat very much. But you're out here at this dinner or a buffet,
right,
and you're going to indulge. All that food sitting there.
You got to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, you're out with people. Life is good. You got to have the second dessert, right?
So what do you do then?
Like Zach said, you want to take some different approaches. And here they actually say you don't want to just try other things that come into your head. Here they call them evidence-based approaches. And what that means is there's some proof that these will work. And so they're good approaches to take. And so that's what we want to look at next.
Well, it says a weight loss plan. And that's what we have is plans, a weight loss plan. And there's so many. You can read them, you can buy them, and everything. And everybody's got a weight loss plan. Isn't that true?
It's true. And I think, though, what's at the core, what's keeping all of these in common, is that there's this piece of, it's the opposite of indulge, I think, would be self-discipline. And I think that maybe self-discipline is...
That's your weight loss plan, and that's good.
Well, and it could be what's kind of motivating a lot of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, before we read on, get ready for the next section.
Forget dieting. Make a lifestyle change. Diets are often measured by short-term results and don't hold up over the long term. You're better off changing your lifestyle with sustainable strategies that will lead to long-term health. Eating according to internal cues, including hunger, fullness, and satisfaction, rather than external cues, such as dieting, food rules, and cultural pressures, helps us build trust in our eating habits and is most likely to lead to a stable weight, says Taylor Wolfram, a Chicago-based dietitian.
Forget dieting, make a lifestyle change. This is kind of a tricky line because of that word dieting. When we use this word diet, sometimes there are different meanings to it. One is just the things you eat. But in this case, we're talking about being on a diet. And that's something people say when they're trying some new plan for losing weight. So, for example, maybe they're only eating salad and tuna.
Or only bananas or something.
Yeah, things like that. And that's being on a diet as opposed to your diet. And so here, they're not saying don't eat. Forget
dieting sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, or even forget about the things you eat. What they're saying is don't think so much about these special plans for dieting.
Okay.
Instead,
short-term plans.
Make a lifestyle change. So change your diet in your day-to-day life.
Forget dieting. We just have to make a lifestyle change, right?
Well, you can forget dieting, but you can't forget your diet.
Okay.
I guess that's the tricky part.
Okay.
So it says here, diets are often measured by short-term results and don't hold up over the long term. Has that been your experience?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
short-term.
Zach, have you been on a diet?
I've not been on a diet.
Really?
You're a pretty skinny guy.
Boy.
It's true. I think if I look back and if I were to ask why, I think for one thing, it might just be my body and my metabolism, but I also think it could be a lifestyle thing. Whereas like running has always been a part of my lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Exercise
in general.
I've always done running and I played tennis and done swimming, but I could still gain weight. Mm-hmm. And other people do the same things and they could eat the same things and they wouldn't gain weight. So there's something else involved.
It's true. I think people's bodies are different.
Mm-hmm. I have never really tried diet plans either. And I think actually some of that might be a culture thing. So I sort of grew up in a rural area and it's just not a thing that men do in the place where I grew up.
Women do more dieting.
It's a women's kind of thing.
True.
So,
yeah.
And I think a lot of that probably isn't so much focused on the idea that being overweight is unhealthy. It's focused on the idea of like looking good way you look, right?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So anyway, the effect here is that diets often lead to short-term results. So you go on a diet, you lose weight for a couple of weeks, and then you finish your diet, and you feel happy, and you go and celebrate the end of your diet with a box of donuts.
Oh, boy.
Right? Back to indulging?
Back to indulging.
Which I think that's a problem, right? Because you're actually setting yourself up potentially for failure because it's harder maybe to face that challenge again a second time.
So what are you supposed to do?
Well, they say you're better off changing your lifestyle with sustainable strategies that will lead to long-term health. And I think there's a couple of key points there. Changing your lifestyle basically means changing what you do every day.
Don't eat donuts every morning for breakfast.
That's right, with sustainable strategies. So the changes you make to your life, you want them to be things that you can handle doing every day forever.
Which kind of explains that word sustainable.
Yeah.
It's manageable, it's doable, achievable.
You can keep on doing it.
You can keep on doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'll give you an example of a lifestyle diet change rather than dieting. So if you're doing a diet, you might, for example, stop eating breads and rice and things with carbohydrates, noodles. And you're only going to do that for a few weeks. And you might lose some weight, but then you'll probably gain it back later. A different change would be things like, if you're eating those things, only eat 70% of what you would have eaten before. So you can still enjoy it, but it becomes like a rule for your life going forward.
Well, they talk about the food rules and the cultural pressures in certain places, and certain places, like if you go to Europe in the morning, they have this nice, fresh, hot bread, and you go out and you smell it in the street, you want to buy some, or you have good Chinese noodles, and you want,
we're not in a food lab.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but, we kind of think that's good, but we have to realize that we have to think about how many calories are in that. That's what we talked about today.
Right. Would you guys say that this is suggesting lifestyle change could extend beyond just to looking at diets, but also just daily activities, and that some of these sustainable strategies might include, you know, things like walking more or adding a different regimen.
Probably both. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, sure. We get some specific advice towards the end of this reading here from a person named Taylor Wolfram, who's a dietitian, which means they're a person who specializes in healthy diets or helping people eat healthily. And what this person does is they say we need to start thinking about what they call internal cues. And I guess that means like the way your body is actually feeling. And then they compare that to other cues, like external cues, so things you're getting from other people. And the example here in the first one is eating according to internal cues like hunger, fullness, and satisfaction. And so when you feel hungry, you eat. And when you feel full, you stop eating, right? And you just kind of want to keep feeling satisfied. That's a good thing.
Okay, but when you feel hungry, it's what you eat that makes a difference. Go and eat some broccoli or cabbage and not a nice hot donut.
Sure, that's right.
That's
but you want to focus on the way you feel rather than external cues, such as the rules of your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think the big one here is cultural pressures. And so, for example, like when it's lunchtime in your office, everybody goes out to eat lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't feel healthy or hungry, you really don't have to go out and eat a full lunch.
I thought everybody felt hungry at lunch, but anyway.
Well, it depends when you ate breakfast, I guess, right? What you ate for breakfast.
Well, and I think what's being highlighted here and something that both Simon and Doris, I think you've both brought this up, is that you got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay attention and yeah, know. Ask yourself and be thinking, because it's very easy to get caught up and swept up into different patterns, but pay attention.
Okay, yeah. So let's finish reading this today's part of the article.
Make a goal. It should be SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. If you make a specific measurable goal, you can look back on your week and know if you accomplished it or not. Then adjust your goal if it's unrealistic or if you are ready for another goal. Choose high-fiber foods. Vegetables, beans, and whole grains are high in fiber and volume and low in calories. Fiber increases satiety, making you feel full while eating less. The extra volume in these foods means you can eat more of them while consuming fewer calories.
Well, I think I said it earlier, and now it's coming up in our article, we need a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But with any goal, you need a plan, or you need an approach. And here, the article offers a way to go about making a goal, and it says you should be SMART.
Smart.
But here,
I thought that means it's, you know, toming, smart that way.
So it's a kind of a play on words. They're using what's called an acronym, and they're breaking down this word SMART as, I think, kind of a good way to try and remember this plan. And so each letter refers to a step in the plan. So first we have S.
Specific. And so that just means you want a very clear goal, like I'm going to lose 10 kilograms is more specific than saying, I'm going to lose some weight.
Right. And when you're more detailed or more specific and you don't leave things very vague or general, it's easy to measure. And the next one is is your goal measurable?
Yeah.
Is it, yeah, can you know progress and are you reaching benchmarks?
Well, and it has to be something that's possible. Like, say, I'm not going to say I'm going to lose 30 pounds. That's not achievable. I might say I'd like to lose a couple of kilos or something, but make it achievable, something you can do so you don't get discouraged.
And that's our A in our acronym.
Realistic is R, and that sort of ties in with achievable. So it's something that you can achieve. And then timely is T. And I think the best way to describe timely just means you're doing this at the appropriate time. So, for example, if Chinese New Year is coming and you know you're going to be eating a lot,
Christmas.
It's not the best time to start your new diet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, and you know what's interesting is often you'll hear or see more ways to approach weight loss or diets right around the new year when people are like often talking and setting resolutions and this kind of thing. And you have to ask yourself, is this timely?
Well, and then you have to choose the high fiber. We always talk about fiber. Fiber is very important. And some things just have sugar in it and there's not fiber. But what are the high fiber foods?
You know, this is, it's such a strange word to describe because we use this word fiber when we're talking about like clothes and wood and things like that. But it basically, it's the structure of the thing in the fruit or the vegetable.
Vegetables, beans, and whole grains, they have a lot of fiber and they're low in calories, but they don't always make you feel so good as noodles, but they're better for you, right?
But they do make you feel full. So if you're trying to feel full while you're dieting, these are a good food to have because they're not going to have too many.
Eat more of them, and then you aren't going to feel hungry anymore, and you don't have so many calories. Hey, that's all the time we have today, but let's come back and talk about this more tomorrow. And we'll see if there's other things that can help us that we know what to focus on. Let's approach our weight loss. Because a lot of people, especially in America, but all over the world, and even in Asia, more and more people are weighing too much these days. Not good for them. So let's see how we can approach this thing tomorrow. See you then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.